The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org. Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm your host, Jason, along with my co-host, Roger. And before we get into the topic for this episode, Roger, I wanted to ask you a question. How did you decide to buy the car you recently purchased? What went into your decision to buy that? I think it's a Camry.
It is.
Okay.
I was looking as the guy who was in the car when I was test driving it said, you went for the reliable choice, didn't you? that was one of the main things. It was cost. And I wanted something that was reliable that would last me for many years because I don't really care for cars other than transportation and not breaking down on me. So I was looking for that. But what about you?
The most recent car that we purchased, was a CX-5, and we purchased it because my wife wanted it.
See, it's a good answer.
It's, you know, wisdom comes in different shapes, right? That's mostly true. She actually did all the research, and she's the one that did all the work to see what's the most reliable, and was it better to lease or buy? Because I had leased one earlier, and anyway, so she went through some of those decisions. But now I know this was a question to kind of get to know one another like we like to do, but it's also pertinent to the topic that we want to discuss in this episode, and that is making decisions when sin isn't a factor. Mm. What's been on my mind is a lot of people kind of think about, you know, how do I make a decision? How do I know what the will of God is? How do I decide between a few things that seem decent or good, or that are not bad at the very least? And so I thought, well, it'd be fun to discuss, Roger, with you, this idea of making decisions when sin, isn't a factor. And so I guess I want to start by asking you this. Can you think of, so what are some decisions that we have to make that are not clear, they're not black and white, they're not sin or not sin issues? What are some of those decisions that you can think of?
The long list of things, you know, such as where should I go to college? What college should I choose? Who should I get married to? Which job should I take? Where should I live? What kind of car should I buy? What kind of house should I buy? You know, I mean, all those decisions we have to make in life, that you say they're not sin, but there's a lot that goes into those, but they're not clear.
Yeah. What were some of the harder decisions for you? Can you think of any that come to mind?
Yeah, I think it came to where were we going to live? Especially living in LA and how big LA is, and knowing that we commute a lot, thinking about housing, church has always been a big decision. Which church are we going to go to? Where do we want to connect as a body? And job, what job am I going to take? Before I took my job, there was a wrestling in my heart of should I take this specific job or not?
Yeah. Those are all good ones. Those are tough. I think people deal with those all the time. I think you said, you know, which school should I go to earlier? Which school should I apply to even? I know some people have asked those kinds of questions. I remember a little different topic in a sense, but wrestling with whether I should leave law school to go to seminary. You know, that was a big decision. And was there a sin or no sin? There's just questions in my mind. How do I make this decision? What goes into that process? So with that in mind, let's talk about what goes into these decisions. What are some of the principles that we use to make some of these decisions? If it's not sin, okay, so I know that, okay, I'm not breaking God's law by doing X, Y, or Z. How do I decide X, Y, or Z? What are some things that go into this?
I think we just flip a coin.
Oh, good.
And then go off of that now.
It'll be a short episode. Urim and Thummim. Do we bring out the draw straws?
Well, let's think of two of maybe more of the common ones that I've heard or maybe even felt is you have the peace. Do you have peace in your heart with this decision? You know, some people will say, I just have peace. You know, I need to have peace in order to make a decision. Or you have others who, you know, fleeces. You know, if I do this, maybe I'll get some kind of sign that God will answer and I'll know exactly what to do. But as I've thought about this over the years and I've come across different resources, there were two very good books that I came across that talked about finding guidance. And so it wasn't specifically God's will. Well, it was connected to God's will, but it was more the guidance. How do I find guidance from the Lord? How do I think through these different areas? And what I liked about them is both of them had the same idea of giving categories to think through in order to decide. One was a very full understanding, and too much to discuss here, but let me just kind of break down the categories they gave, which I think are helpful. One was what you're talking about, is it a sin issue or not? So is this a matter of righteousness? You know, if it's sin or not, that's easy. If it's sin, don't do it. You know, that's not guidance from God. But then the other two were matters of judgment and matters of triviality. And the thought was that God's will or God's guidance isn't this specific secret thing you're trying to figure out, but rather use wisdom through the scriptures and through others and considering other circumstances in order to make a decision, knowing you're in the sovereign hand of God. So you're not outside of God's will for making one decision or another in many cases. And that's why we're talking about not sin issues, right? Because we know that's the will of God is directly connected there, but these other issues of, you know, like I like that matters of judgment. Is this a wise, good choice to make? So those categories were helpful. Another kind of way they this other author put it, the same idea was area of things prohibited, that's sin or not sin, application of God's positive commands, like wisdom, and then areas of Christian liberty, that's kind of like triviality, you know, you can choose what you want.
It's interesting. Now, you mentioned those two initially that before you went into the kind of topics that you got from some of those good, you know, thinkers and books on the topic. You said peace and a fleece. Okay. I don't know if you meant to rhyme, but
no.
And you brought those up. Did you bring those up to say, hey, those are not good ways? Or did you bring those up to say those are good ways?
I think that they can be very subjective.
Yeah.
Because you could have peace on things that aren't the right thing to do. I have heard people say, I have peace with doing something that's not, that would be against God's will. That's clearly against his will.
Right.
And you could have that wrong kind of peace. I think a fleece is just testing God. You know, if I do this and God will answer in this way and I'll know that it was his will if I, yeah, no, it's kind of searching for a sign. So I just don't think they're using wisdom and discernment that God has given us to sift through the scriptures and at the same time to free us up to not feel this weight of, am I doing what God wants me to do? We're free to live in God's sovereign hand, to make decisions, knowing that even when we make decisions that weren't the wisest, he's still going to lift us up and orchestrate our circumstances. Romans 8:28, you know, working things all for our good to sanctify us. And Proverbs 3:5-6, giving us guidance and straightening our paths. And so there's a sense of freedom in there.
Yeah, and the freedom is it helps when you understand that the scriptures speak of the will of God in a couple of different ways. Mm-hmm. You've got what we often theologically call, you know, the secret will or the hidden will of God, and then the revealed will. You know, this idea that God has a perfect plan for us is completely true, but he doesn't always reveal that plan to us. That's in his, you know, his mind from before the foundation of the earth, that every last detail of our lives is already part of his decree. That's true. And we trust him because of that, but he doesn't ask us to try and figure that out, mm-hmm. right? He gives us his revealed will or his preceptive will, where he gives us his word to guide us, to direct us. And he tells us to obey, you know, so we do. And so this, instead of trying to discover God's will, we just read scripture and go, okay, here's what he's told us. And so, like you said, using the wisdom from the word, people, I think we talked about a couple episodes ago, this idea of wisdom literature that people mm-hmm. don't spend enough time in as Christians. We've got to be in the word that allows us to have the categories to think through, like you brought up with those other books, like, you know, judgment issues and triviality issues. Let's take one topic mm-hmm. and let's kind of help our listeners to think through it with us. Okay. So let's take career to pursue for now. Mm-hmm. Let's start with that. What goes into your process of thinking to decide what career that you want to pursue or that you ought to pursue? Is it like everyone says, just do what you love, do what you feel like you're, you know, good at, and you'll be happy doing? Is that the way to do it?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually read a comment in one of these books where they said that finding fulfillment in a job is not a particular biblical promise. It's not what we should be. It's not what we should be seeking. Being fulfilled in a job isn't the goal. It's not nowhere in scripture saying you need to work so you're fulfilled. You know, it just made me think of that. But I think that there's different areas that we should consider that are wisdom issues. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're thinking about work that we can do. So we give a majority of our time to working mm-hmm. during the week. So if we're going to give a majority of the time, how can we best be used with our skills, our abilities, our desires that we have, and the opportunities that are before us?
Yeah.
You know, if you're choosing between two different jobs that maybe are equal weight, that could be a hard thing, because you can't know, okay, is this job more glorifying to God than the other? Well, it may not be. It may not be as easy to answer that. And some of that is, what do you want to do? And just go do it. It's not, we don't have to spiritualize it so much to say, no, this is the job God wanted you to take, and give people the anxiety of not being able to decide. And so I think there's, you know, factors of even asking others, what do you think? Do you think, how do you think this fits in you knowing me in working this? But I also think you just don't know things about yourself till you start doing it.
Sure.
And you could excel and even get better at a job. And then some may just not be a good fit.
You know, when people have talked to me about certain even career paths or job opportunities, something else that's come up, and I don't know what you think of this, Roger, is I've talked to them about whether it makes sense for them to leave their church family at this time or not. You think that's something fair to bring up in our thinking? Should we consider that, or the church family that we're a part of?
Yeah, I think where I want to be compassionate is knowing that sometimes jobs and can be difficult to have, that maybe take away from the body. You know, maybe you can't make it to the midweek Bible study, or you have to work some Sundays. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to put a person in a position saying, you're sinning by not going to church on Sunday and working. You need to be off right now. And
right.
Like, okay, I'm feeding my family. Is the ideal that I need to be poor and going to church, or right now I need to take care of my family? So yeah. I think there's some trying to be compassionate to where people are at. But I do think the church should be a consideration of, if this is your family, and this is where you should be plugging in, it's not just finding a job anywhere and doing anything, but find one that could fit into a life that allows you to still be part of the church, and where that location is. Like, if you're finding a job and you don't have a church home to go to, think about that. Don't disconnect yourself, because you need the body and the body needs you.
What about something like this? If I'm thinking about a certain career path, should I take into consideration the fact that to be successful at that position, I'll have to put in 70 or 80 hours a week?
You know, I've thought about that, because I've worked jobs where I have had to work 50 plus hour weeks. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that for, you know, more reasons of just the quality of life goes down. And there are certain jobs that do require that to succeed, to climb the corporate ladder, or to just be able to do that business require that many hours. I think in that case, it becomes a real wisdom issue that needs to be worked out with your context. So one context, a single guy may be able to do that just fine and well, but then the married man who has a family to care for and other responsibilities, well, wisdom might look different in that context. So I think you got to take in the context and the motivation of the heart. Are you doing it because you're just going to make, you want to make tons and tons of money and that's your motivation, or is this just the nature? I mean, some jobs just are like that, and it's a hard one.
And I like the way you're putting it, because it really is a wisdom issue here. It's not a sin issue. Mm-hmm. There could be temptation added to your life that could lead you to sin, but we've got to be real careful to say, you know, we don't want to say that, hey, any, this particular field that requires this much work is wrong. No Christian should ever have it, because there's some Christians that had to sacrifice certain aspects of their relationships, let's say with people, to be used by God in certain roles that are a tremendous asset to the kingdom. So it really is wisdom. And like you said, taking into consideration all sorts of things. I want to read something looked like you were going to jump in. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, thinking of it in this side, we're thinking of jobs in outside of the church. But if we flip the question inside the church, so you're pastor of the church, we have a smaller congregation, so there's more needs in a sense, there's less spread out to you don't have a huge staff to spread out things.
Yeah.
But even the ministry can take many, many hours away daily. You don't clock in and out. You see, you're on the clock all the time, right? And so there's even temptations in that. And we can think, okay, you're in the ministry. You should be doing this, and it's great. But at the same time, there could be that temptation of, am I balancing my family with everyone? Not balancing out, that word's not the best word. Am I holding that tension right with my family is flourishing, and I'm not taking away from them because I have to serve all these people?
Right.
So just something to think about.
Huge too. Consideration. I want to read from 1 Corinthians 10, because I thought this would be kind of helpful to help us think through these issues. Paul writes, "All things are lawful," which probably was something that was being said by the Corinthians at the time. Mm-hmm. All things are lawful, but his response is, "But not all things are helpful," or in other translations, "Not all things are beneficial." All things are lawful, but not all things build up. I think this is interesting, because he goes on, he says, let no one, this is verse 24 now of 1 Corinthians 10, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Now, it kind of reminds me also of Galatians 5:13, where Paul says, you're called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another in love.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that we have to ask is not, is it okay? Is it lawful Am I free to do it?
Yeah.
But is it beneficial? And is it beneficial for what? It seems here in Paul's context specifically that it is beneficial for building up. Is it beneficial? Later on, he's going to say, whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Can this be used for the glory of God? And how can it be used for the glory of God? So sometimes we're going to make some decisions that really require sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
On our part, that yeah, it may not be the best job in the industry, but it's the job that's going to give me the most time to serve others and love others. Or it might be I'm going to take the one that's going to keep me away from friends perhaps a lot, but man, I see an opportunity to advance the gospel there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just am I free to do it, it's am I going to use my freedom to glorify God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I think that's where we take the context into consideration of different people, and we take the motivation of the heart. What's going on inside? Are we trying to see our jobs as identity? And if we do that, then we might pursue a specific career path, because we're not specifically pursuing the career. We're pursuing the identity that that career might provide us. Yeah. And that could be a temptation to make decisions, to do something for the wrong reasons. We look at scripture. Think of when they were building the temple. And God had given skill and wisdom to all the different people and all the different parts in order to do that. You needed all of that skill in order to build up that great temple that God used. And we need, believers who have been given talents and skills from the Lord to serve in all different areas with all different responsibilities. Yeah. And to glorify him. You know, and I joke with some of the guys sometimes, and I say, as long as it's not sinful in what you're doing, do whatever you want for a job, in a sense of be free more to think through it instead of being so concerned about, is this the right thing I should be doing? How do I know which one it is? Well, sometimes it's what do you want to do? And
sure.
And go do it,
and go do it with all those other Christian principles in mind, and mm-hmm. do it for the glory of God. So someone might be listening saying, well, I'm in a job already. I can't choose my career anymore, or I would be unwise to.
Yeah.
And the answer is, of course, stay in your job, what you're doing, but where you're at, think about ways that you can use that position to bring glory and honor to the Lord and be a blessing to those around you. And that can be in any field at any time. What about something like the school that you're going to send your kids to? This is a hot topic.
No one has any opinions on this, of course.
No, we're going to be the first ones to ever address this topic.
So what
might go into that?
Public school, private school, or homeschool, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been part of different churches where some churches are all private school, some churches are all homeschool, some churches give a little bit of liberty and do public schools. And it's interesting when you get to this topic, because I think, at least as I've thought through this, it feels that this is one that is a temptation to cause pride to come out of the heart, as if one knows what's right for every other believer to do in their life.
Right.
Instead of allowing people to choose what they find is right for their own family, and to choose which path to take. I think there are principles and wisdom we should take into consideration.
Yeah.
But it's not as clear cut, because sometimes we think the other decision is going to, we're forgetting that the heart is still active and the heart is still depraved and sinful. And that we still have to be concerned about the internal, not just the external. The external shapes us, intern will list a major problem. So we think, oh, if we just do this model, so we homeschool, we're protecting our children from the evil one out there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the evil resides in all of our heart, you know, or you know, I think that sometimes some of the camps come so strong with their opinions as if this is the only way. That's where I get caught up, is when somebody says this is the only way. So see if I remember how my professor said this. He said that with decisions like this, we take God's word and we try to apply discernment, and we say, we believe this is God's way of applying the scripture instead of saying a way to apply the scripture. So we're making our decision more like this is God's mind and law of what you're supposed to do, instead of just saying it's one of many options to choose.
Yeah. And the minute you say that this is God's way, God's law, anyone that doesn't fit that and doesn't do it the way you have decided is the right way, suddenly they are less than obedient. They're less than God honoring. Yeah. It's tough. And so when you come to a decision about school, you think about things like cost. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's an important consideration. One, you may not be able to afford. Two, you want to continue to give to the Lord's work and do other things. And some people may or may not be able to afford something like a private Christian school. The other one, what about the ability, right? Do I have the ability to teach my kids enough and plus do all the work that I have in other ways, you know, in terms of homeschooling? And some do. They have the bandwidth. They have the ability. Maybe one the wife is able to stay home. You know, that is very, very helpful and wonderful. And that may be the route for some people. And others think, you know, I've had this conversation recently, it's interesting because both you and I send our kids to public schools. Not that we're saying that that's the right thing. It's just that it happens to be the case for us. That an opportunity to be a light. If we're training up our kids in righteousness and truth, we want them to be exposed to the darkness in a sense, so that they can see the difference between the light and darkness. And also they can be a light in the darkness. But that doesn't mean that's for everybody, because honestly, one of the benefits, I think, for both of our families, Roger, is that the kids can come home and talk to us about scripture and theology and doctrine. And we've been trained and we have certain capabilities, and maybe not everyone does. And so that's okay to choose something different. But there's different things that go into the decision. Like we said, cost, ability, the benefit and blessing to the world around us. Mm-hmm. These are all considerations when we're making a decision like that.
Yeah, I think that when I think, at least in the school, you know, you make the decision with your convictions, applying the word of God as you're convicted, and you resist a temptation to judge others who have different opinions.
Yeah.
And if you can't resist that temptation, then you're falling into the trap of thinking that you know the only way to train up a child. And I don't think that's fair to others who have chosen different. And you know, you can look at different ways that people have raised their children and how they've grown up. And so there's more to just, hey, this is the only way to apply wisdom in this particular scenario. Context can change. You know, you're in a different district than I am. There's a different context even there that we consider. When they transition to junior high, that's a different context. So it's not a fixed decision. It can change as we look and take into consideration that what's being taught, you know, what it looks like, and all those other areas that can come in that we just apply wisdom as best we can.
So let's kind of recap a little bit as we're getting ready to wrap up, and let's think about some of the principles that come out of this. The first one I think we agreed and we said is, look, unless it's clear in scripture that something is a sin, there's freedom. Okay. That if scripture isn't calling this a sin, I cannot add to God's word and call it a sin. And so there's a certain amount of freedom that someone has, and the role of conscience that Paul talks about in Romans 14 and elsewhere, that we have no right to condemn someone for those actions. We've got to be real careful not to be, using our own standards instead of God's standard. We also said wisdom from God's word. So there may, it may not be a sin, right? It, all things are lawful, but that doesn't mean that's the right decision to make. There's other considerations, wisdom, guidance from brothers and sisters that know us, maybe even from people that are not believers that know us well enough. They can give us some guidance in terms of our abilities, skills, where we thrive. What other considerations there did we talk about that we can just summary purposes here?
Looking at, as we're trying to apply wisdom, looking at context, looking at motivations of our hearts, what's driving us to make one decision versus the other, that can sometimes clarify between two paths, right? And sometimes you don't even know your own motivations. You need a brother to help you see your own heart, to ask you questions, and then it starts to get revealed. What do I really want? What is my desire? That answers a lot of the confusion in the gray, where it's like these two decisions are great, but I don't know which one.
Why do I want one over the other, or what is it that I want? Good. And I think another principle here that we could kind of see in scripture and just through wisdom that we've gained here, every decision's not final.
Yeah.
We're going to mess up, or it might not even be a mess up. We're going to go a certain direction and then maybe have to backtrack. And it's not like that's outside of God's control or the Lord hasn't permitted that. And it doesn't even mean that we made a wrong decision when we went that direction in the first place. The Lord often sends a certain direction to teach us a better lesson or whatever it is that he's got in store for us. So I think we can't be afraid. I think there's always this fear of making a decision. Make a decision that seems to fit what scripture is teaching, right? And move and trust that God, your Father, will get you back on track if somehow that's off track. And I think we've got to keep that in mind too. As we're wrapping up, Roger, anything, what other takeaway do you have or something you'd like to think about some more?
Yeah, I like how you ended that with not every decision is final. I think remembering that at the same time, remembering God is sovereign and that we're making decisions within the sovereignty of God. And we're not going to make make decisions that God isn't ultimately able to work for our good. And so we can rest in that and not be anxious about every decision we have to make in life.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, I think honestly, the take home for me is what you just said about asking the right question of why do I want this? What is it there that I want? Why are these desires for me? And that helps me to think about my heart and my motivations and know if that's on track with what the Lord desires. And that by itself will be really clarifying. Well, I hope that our listeners enjoyed this brief discussion. There's so much more that could go into this, but I hope we're whetting people's appetites to go back to the scriptures, dig in for more principles, more of the wisdom. So we do urge you to read the Proverbs and get the wisdom that God has in store. And I hope that you will join us next time as well. If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodandstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.